It's really enjoyable to listen to the Torah a second time, and that's what we get in Deuteronomy, isn't it? We get Yah's word and reinforcement of it through Deuteronomy. So let us pray for the message. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for the word that you've given, and we now pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I want to speak not out of the Torah, but out of Yaakov, or James, as you might know him. And I've titled it The Patience in the Harvest. And Yah's been teaching me patience lately, and it's something that he is very patient. Yah is so patient, and we have to learn to be patient. So if we can go to the second slide, please. In Yaakov chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. Is it not there? Is that the second slide? No, that's not it. That's the third slide. Is it the second one not there? Well, it's what we've just read anyway. It's just what we've just read out of Yaakov. And it said, so brothers, be patient until the Lord's return. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He is patient over it until it receives the fall and spring rains. You too be patient. Keep up your courage, for the Lord's return is near. Now Yaakov was speaking to the believers of his day, and they were waiting eagerly for Yeshua's return then. They lived in difficult and desperate times, and their hopes were fixed upon Yeshua's sudden appearing. The people were so impatient for Yeshua to return that Yaakov wrote to them, encouraging them to be patient for the coming of the Lord. Now, in their impatience, they were actually overlooking Yehovah's purpose. While they were waiting for Yeshua's return, Yah was waiting for the harvest. Yaakov pictures Yehovah as a farmer who has put a great deal of labor into his crop and waiting for the harvest to manifest. These words of Yaakov make it clear that the coming of the Lord is imminent, and yet we are still waiting to this very day. Yaakov wanted it to be perfectly understood that Yehovah had a purpose until he comes, until Yeshua returns. And that is to gather a harvest of redeemed men and women from every nation and tongue. Yehovah is at work right now by his Ruach HaKodesh, gathering a redeemed multitude that no man can number. Now, during the early 20th century, a good farmer was characterized by hard work, long hours, and lots of patience. Something the world doesn't have today. It's all instant gratification. It's all instant coffee, instant this, instant that, bring me the internet, where is it? You know, it's just, they don't understand the true meaning of patience. When we think that Yehovah is so patient with us as a people that he's still waiting for us to be right before he returns his son on this earth. And patience as it relates to the harvest is the key word and what my teaching is about today. The heart of our text sees the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That's you and me. We are his precious fruit. He is patient over it until it receives the fall and spring rains, and then urges the reader to be patient as well. Now, what is patience? Well, I can tell you what it's not. Patience does not mean to surrender to things just as they are. We don't have to be satisfied with our world as it is today. We don't have to put up with the political correctness as it is today. Patience doesn't mean to sit down, fold our arms and cry, "I wish things were better, but this is just the way things are." We're not meant to do nothing. Patience does not mean to resign yourself to limited or negative circumstances. And patience does not mean to just hold on until you can't take it any longer. That's not what patience is about. Patience is actually a positive word. It's neither a passive word or a negative word, but it's very positive. And it is this positive word that actually describes the character of Yehovah. We'll go to the next slide, please. Obviously, I left one out. In Kafabet, or 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you, for if it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from his sins." So he's waiting for the world to be just right. Patience is a positive word that also describes the character of Yeshua HaMashiach in Romans 15 and verse 5. And it says, "May Yehovah, the source of encouragement and patience, give you the same attitude among yourselves as the Messiah Yeshua had." Patience is a positive word that describes the priceless fruit of the Ruach HaKodesh. And of course, if we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, this is what we should be looking for the fruit. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. Nothing. Patience is a positive word that also describes divine love, as we find in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. It says, "Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous. It is not boastful. It is not proud, rude or selfish. Not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs." Patience, or another word that we can use, long-suffering, as it sometimes is translated, means to abide in and to remain under the load, regardless of the weight, and endure the painful discomfort regardless of its duration, and suffer for doing right for as long as Yehovah sees fit. And I know that sounds a tall order, but there are believers out there who have that unconditional love, and they can hold on to that. I know, because I've done it in marriage until Yah changes things. And he does. It took 18 years, but he changed it. We have to be patient. I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done. And Yah is still patient at this moment in our sin-ridden world. And we look at it and we see it getting worse and worse by the day, with all the sexuality laws that are being changed, all of the laws over abortion that are being changed. That's not what Yah wants. That's not what he wants of this earth and of this world. And we see it, and all we can do is pray against it. I'm sure you've heard of William Barclay. And he says patience means to bear things with a blazing hope, knowing that there are these things are leading to the goal of glory. Patience is having a positive, biblical perspective in the trauma of a tragedy or in the heat of a spiritual battle. And she all gave us a powerful testimonial definition of patience in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. Excuse me. We have all kinds of trouble, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, yet not abandoned. Knocked down, yet not destroyed. If we trust in Yah, it doesn't matter what happens, we will rise up better and stronger. But let us look at three ingredients that seem to be absolutely necessary if we are to practice patience in the harvest. We need a divine revelation of Yehovah's invisible provisions. Let us be reminded that Yehovah is still supernatural. When we look to him, we need to expect the supernatural. We can't expect anything in the natural. We have to see it in the supernatural. Shaul wrote in Romans 4 and verse 17. This accords with the Tanakh, where it says, I have appointed you to be a father to many nations. Abraham is our father in Yehovah's sight, because he trusted Yehovah as the one who gives life to the dead and calls non-existent things into existence. And this is what he's asking us to do in our circumstances. It's the business of Hasatan to bring death and destruction, but it is the business of Yehovah to bring life. In Yochanan John 10 and verse 10, it tells us that the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come, that is Yehovah, so that you may have life, life in its fullest measure. If our problem is death, then Yehovah can supernaturally quicken it. If your marriage is dead, Yehovah can cause it to come alive. If a relationship with a loved one is destroyed, Yehovah can cause it to be restored. If a function in your body is not working, Yehovah can correct it. If a passion for ministry is gone, Yehovah can cause it to return. If all hope is dead, Yehovah can give birth to new hope. It is the will of Yehovah to quicken or bring life to what is dead. Shaul was also saying that if what we need does not exist, Yehovah can cause it to become. Yah is always bigger than our needs. He has a supply for every need. His provisions are as great as his promises. But how can we know for what is in store for us? Yehovah has chosen to reveal his provisions by his Ruach, or his Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, But as the Tanakh says, No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, that no one's heart has imagined all the things that Yehovah has prepared for those who love him. It is to us, however, that Yehovah has revealed these things. How? Through the Ruach. For the Ruach probes all things, even the profoundest depths of Yehovah. The natural man cannot receive a revelation from Yehovah concerning his provisions. Such revelations are foolish to him. Natural man believes only what is natural that can happen. Receiving a revelation from the Ruach is determined by the sensitivity of one's own Ruach or spirit within them. It's got nothing to do with the IQ. Nothing to do with your intelligence whatsoever. It's everything to do with the spirit that is within you. But thanks be to Yehovah for his Ruach, who knows all there is to know about every provision he has for you and he has for me. And he knows the end from the beginning. While we only know what we are going through or what is in our past, we can look back and we can see, yes, this happened, that happened, that happened. I can remember 40 years ago I did this and 50 years ago I did that. I don't know what's ahead for me. I don't know what's on down there 10 years' time, 20 years' time. But Yah does. And that's the difference. We look back to see where things are going. But Yah knows the end. He knows where we're going to finish. He's seen the finish line before we've even gotten to it. And therefore he knows everything about each and every one of us, every day of our life, how we're going to live it, and what's going to happen in the end. And I praise him daily for that. Yehovah is the only one who can communicate that knowledge to us through revelation, and he does. The Ruach reveals to us what the natural man cannot know. Praise Yah for that Shavuot day when the Ruach could fall on all mankind who believed in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. Can we go to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, please, 33 and verse 3. It says, call out to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great things, hidden things of which you are unaware. He will reveal them to you. Let us be challenged to call on to Yehovah for his Ruach to reveal to us what he has available for our good. Such a revelation of Yah's provision will cause us to have patience in the harvest. To receive this, we need a daily renewing of the inward man. In 2 Corinthians verses 4 to 16, it says, this is why we do not lose courage. Through our outer self is heading for decay, our inner self is being renewed daily. Our outer self does decay. We do get old. We can't walk as fast as we used to. I can't skip downstairs anymore. It's one thing I miss. I used to be able to skip downstairs and I can't do it anymore. I really miss that. I'm sure I'd fall over if I tried now. But the point is, the body's decaying, but the inner body, the inner self isn't. It lives forever and ever. My body will die, but my Ruach will live eternally with Yah. And I praise him for that. The inward man is our mind, our emotions, and our willpower, and our Ruach. The inward man needs to be renewed daily, because it is these three parts that are attacked daily by HaSatan, the devil. Our minds can either be blessed by peace or plagued by paranoia. Our emotions can either be blessed by a balance or plagued by an imbalance. Our willpower can either be blessed by passion or plagued by passivity. Howard Hendricks was a longtime professor of a theological college in Dallas, Texas, and is also a great spokesperson for Promise Keepers. That they used to be a big men's group that Malachi used to attend many years ago. And he has a lot of quotes which are labelled A to Z. And he tells about one Sunday school teacher who was 83 years old. Hopefully at 83 I'll still be standing here. And he was teaching junior boys. From her class had come 84 full-time ministers, of which 22 were seminary graduates, Hendricks said about this teacher's faithfulness, it is because of her passion. She knew the value of renewing the inward man. From much comes the ability to be the patient, to be patient in the harvest. We need a determined reliance upon Jehovah's promises. And I'm talking here about an unshakable faith, an ever-increasing faith, not a diminishing faith, ever-increasing. A faith that believes Yah for the impossible when circumstances are debilitating. My go-to person here is the faith of my ancestor Abraham. If we look at Father Abraham and what he did, and yes, he wasn't always walking according to Yah's will, Yah was faithful. Can we go to Bereshit, Genesis 12 and verse 2, please? Here he is saying, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. And in verse 7, he says, to your descendants, I will give this land. At that time, Abraham was my age. He was 75 years of age. But look what happened. Abraham became impatient and he responded in the flesh. 10 years after Jehovah gave Abraham the revelation, Sarah had not yet had a baby. So Abraham came up with an alternative plan. Abraham chose a steward born in his house to be his heir. But Jehovah actually said no. In Bereshit chapter 15 verses 2 to 4, it says, Avram replied, Jehovah Elohim, what good will your gifts be to me if I continue childless? And Eliezer from Damascus inherits my possessions. You haven't given me a child, Avram continued. So someone born in my house will be my heir. But the word of Jehovah came to him. This man will not be your heir. No, your heir will be a child from your own body. So Abraham was 85 at this stage. 1 year later, when Abraham is 86, Sarah has still not given birth to a child. So he came up with another plan. She told her husband to have a baby through her maidservant Hagar. Abraham went ahead of Yah and did as his wife instructed, and things got even worse. If we look at Bereshit Genesis 16, we all know the story of Ishmael. In fact, we're still dealing with the angry results of Jehovah's decision to this very day. And that's what that article was about that started in Israel in 2020. It all started back with Abraham and going ahead of Yah and causing the birth of Ishmael. It wasn't until Abraham was 99 years of age, 24 years after the promise was given, 13 years after agreeing to have a baby with Hagar, is his impatience that he asked Yah if Ishmael could be his heir to the covenant, which was obviously a plan of the flesh. So guess what Jehovah said? No. For the third time. Haven't you got it yet, Abraham? However, it was at this time that Jehovah did not do the unusual and specified the time when his promise of a son would be fulfilled. And at this time next year, Sarah would have a child of her own. Not only would she have a child, she is virtually told the sex by the name of the child that the child is to be known. But you'll have to realize too that in circles of the Hebrews and even my own grandfather, you were only a child if you were a male. That might seem strange to you. But every time my mother had a child, he would say, is it a child or is it a girl? Is it a child or is it a girl? There were four girls before the boy came along. And that was the only child in my grandfather's eyes in our family. But then, of course, that's the way it was. And it stemmed from Avraham. So instead of Avraham responding in the flesh, he now responds in faith. Can we go to Romans 4, 18 to 21? For he was past hope, yet in hope he trusted that he would indeed become a father to many nations, in keeping with what he was told. So many will your seed be. His trust did not waver when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered Sarah's womb was dead, too. He did not by lack of trust, decide against Jehovah's promises. On the contrary, by trust, he was given the power as he gave glory to Jehovah, for he was fully convinced of what Jehovah had promised he would also accomplish. So what turned Avraham from flesh to faith? Does anyone need to go and shift their cars? Okay, you're right. There's a great big thing going on downstairs. So one, he became fully persuaded, Avraham became fully persuaded concerning Yah's ability to perform his promise. It was the supernatural was necessary. Yah can be trusted for the supernatural because he is faithful. Two, Avraham gave Jehovah praise for his ability to bring his child into being, and praising changes one's perspective. If you have asked Yah for something in prayer, do not keep asking for it. Just start praising Yah for what it is that you want and speak this thing into spiritual or ruachal into being. What we know that we need or we want in the flesh, we've got to speak into being through the Spirit so that it can come to pass. Avraham became strong in his faith through his praises. His praises reflected Yah's provisions rather than Avraham's problems. The more he spoke of the greatness of Yah, the stronger his faith became. You know, it doesn't matter what you need or you want in this life at the moment. Just keep thanking Yah for it. He will provide. He does provide. But we have to praise him and thank him for what his provision will be. Yeshua longs to finish the work and gather the great harvest into the heavenly storehouse. As soon as the grain is ripe, he will put forth his sickle because the harvest has come. Nothing will keep him from gathering his harvest. He will not leave a single golden grain to fall to the ground. I started this teaching on Yaakov chapter 5 verse 8, for the Lord's or Yeshua's return is near. Can we go to Kepher Beit, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10? And it says, the Lord Yeshua is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you, for it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from their sins. However, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will melt and disintegrate, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. When the harvest is ready, Yeshua will gather a great multitude of his blood-washed, blood-bought men and women into his glorious kingdom. Let me finish with this last scripture in Messianic Jews or Hebrews. In chapter 10, verse 36. Not there. I left that. Well. For you need to hold out so that by having done what Jehovah wills, you may receive what he has promised. We have been promised a great harvest. But patience is essential in seeing it be reaped. If we see the invisible provision of Yehovah, if we experience a daily renewal of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and if we determine to trust Yehovah to the end, then we can exercise patience in the harvest that we are looking for. Everyone's harvest is different as living beings on this earth, but there is only one true harvest that Yehovah is patiently waiting for at this moment. And that's the harvest of a truly repentant soul. Yaakov, the brother of Yeshua, was waiting for it. And 2,000 years later, Yah is still patiently waiting for his creation to be ready for Yeshua's return. And at the rate that our world is at the moment, something drastic has to happen. Because with the gender fluidity and the abortion to full term, things can't get much worse.